Today's podcast episode, we are going to be talking about window installation details. It's something that we probably all take a lot of pride in.
And it's probably one of the most important parts of the building.
And I guess it's so dependent on the type of window that you work with and the finish that you want. And I reckon to go through this episode, it's almost like we need to break it down into timber install, an alu-clad install, and a UPVC install. It's so different.
Yeah, but I also feel that there are some similarities across the board. I mean, thing that immediately comes to my mind is where that glazing unit sits within the thermal envelope. Yeah. I think a lot of it, like if you think about a brick veneer building, normal co-built home, you've got your frame and then you've got your bricks, and your bricks obviously sit 40 mil off the frame, 40, 60 mil off the frame. And what you're doing in a lot of situations is pushing the window out, you've got the big timber reveals into that void so you don't have a dirty big gap around the, you know, where the bricks are, because you're obviously not, most of the time, not turning your bricks in, and you've just got 110 mil of brick. So you think about that glass is sitting in air.
And the other, so this also mentioned, this is, we're probably going to just talk about new builds today. So I think that's maybe a whole nother retrofit window installation topic. But the basic part of a window is we're cutting a hole in our envelope. And not all windows are windows as well. So there's no point buying a window if it leaks.
I mean, I would argue that all windows are windows if they're a window.
Yeah. They're not all equal though. Like,
they're not equal. But I think when you're talking about window installations and what you're actually asking a window to do, I think that's important to consider before you're even worried about, you know, is it PVC, alu-clad,
yeah, great,
timber, you know, because when you look at a house and you talk about your control layers, and with a window, we're really talking about three different control layers that we're asking this window to be a part of. It's part of your air control layer, it's part of your thermal control layer, and it's part of your moisture, yeah, your external moisture control layer. And it's, you know, looking at it in a way that all three of those things have continuity at that window.
Could you also, it's also dependent on the location. For example, if you're going to be right near the water or on the top of a hill that you are huge, crazy, no protection, like, is timber windows the best option for that? Do you add that in there, like the choice of material you're constructing is also...
For simplicity of like explanation of window install, I think let's just be ambiguous of what that window's made.
Yeah.
A window is a window. Like, obviously, there's different reasons why you would choose different types of windows.
So there's aesthetics, there's bow requirements, there's
budget. So we had we have a hole in our wall. What is the first thing you do?
Well, I mean, let's also just hang on for a second. Let's think about why we're putting a hole in the wall. But what? Why don't we just build a box with no windows?
It performed very well.
It would perform well, but why? Are you thinking about like why we have windows in? And then why are we then going actively cutting a hole in the window?
So one is to bring the inside to out, such as bioacrylic design. That's the first.
Connection with nature.
Yeah, so perfect. The second, I was going to say views and see what's out there. Again, same thing. Natural light, just bring some natural light into the building to illuminate the home. I would say it's another one. It's passive solar principles.
And some of it could be the health of the occupant from a mental health point of view. There might be a view out to the south.
Ventilation is another one.
Yeah, ventilation.
Which, topical, but you have the opening windows connecting with nature again.
Yep. So we all agree we're not just going to build a black box or a box that's going to be dark inside, we're going to put natural light on. We want to put holes in that wall frame, but then it's when we're putting holes in that wall frame, how are we installing it correctly? And then how are we managing all those three control layers that Brad was talking about?
As a builder, carpenter, you rock up on site, hole in wall. Let's assume that it's wrapped correctly and you just got this box. Now what?
So I'm thinking about the window install as I'm marking out the wall frames.
I think we're thinking about the window install at design stage.
Probably, yeah.
And I think there's this really great balance of like you think about it at design stage, you don't also want to overcomplicate a design stage. Like as an architect, like sometimes when we get, when the architect's trying to draw the details, how the airtight display is going to connect to the internal. You don't need to do all that. We'll work that out on site. Like, you can't document that. That is almost impossible sometimes.
I would say that there needs to be something.
There needs to be just a basic set of drawings of where it's going to sit, how it's going to sit. Is it going to be an easy reveal? Is it architrave? Just the basic details. How we construct it on site, we'll make it work. We will get it. We will get it insulated. We will get it sitting the right layer. Just communicate what you want and we'll make that work. I think there's also the unfair expectation on an architect to try and work out where this line's going to work with this flashing in. If you give us the basic details.
So there's just one little thing to unpack there. If you are going for a certified building, then you've got to go to the minutiae of the detail.
But can you work backwards? Sometimes I've done that in the past where it's like, it's a very tricky junction there. Let us install it, we'll document it and now draw it.
You're going to need to improve and you need to manage all the thermal bridges during the PS3P.
So what I'm saying,
I agree with you, by the way.
It needs to be designed in. But if you are, I don't think if it's not a certified building, I don't think you need to try and problem solve everything at design stage, but you need to be thinking about it.
And that's the key.
Thinking about it at design stage from a builder and a craftsman point of view and the designer, but leave some things up to when you get to site because you might make some changes when you get.
But the things that need to be specified is, it needs to connect those three layers.
Yes.
Yeah. And then how you connect those three layers, what you use for those three layers,
to us.
Might be a little bit.
And that's what I mean. You don't need to be you really need this extra seal connecting to the extra tape right here. Just tell us, make it airtight, make it watertight and thermally perform. And you might have to do some
duration. And then maybe what parameters you've got around internal and external.
Essential details sort of thing
around the window.
So basic for me, great point you pull up about that frame or markout stage. What are you thinking about at that stage?
Well, what provisions you need to have in that rough opening to fit all of these things.
So if you've got a meter wide window, Brad, are you making that opening a meter wide?
No.
Why?
Well, obviously you need to have some sort of a gap to be able to fit the window
easily
and it not be tight and have some room for deflection and, be able to be able to plumb it up and straighten it and whatever in the rough opening. We're allowing a little bit extra space on the bottom because of how we detail the sill of the rough opening.
Yep. The other hardest part is when you're setting out and you've got that nice neat plaster join just slipping into the side of the window that's up against an internal wall. Then you're really having to then you also your ceiling wanting to hit that nice plane on the angle to the top of the window. You've got two junctions that you can't move.
Right, the fucking window away from the corner.
Bit architecture, we've got to promote architects being creative. Because we get bored. We want to be challenged.
Yeah. I'm hearing you. But if all of a sudden there's no rhyme or reason for a window to be jammed into a corner, I'm like, move that out. Because that right there is just...
Yeah, so if you're talking about, how do you get an ideal window install, don't put other shit in a way that makes it harder than it needs to be.
Slope sill or no slope sill?
Oh, I love this. Well, I don't slope the sill. I use a sill pan.
Yep.
All right. I'm a massive advocate. Only on the last one on my house, we the first time sloped the sill at 5 degrees, we had a leak. And when you shot that amount of water, and look, it's an amount of water that was so unrealistic, would never happen in real life. But you saw it get past the tape. But what you saw it, it couldn't get up that ramp, so it would then fall back down. And that to me is you need sill pan or you need something that is going to push that water away.
Yeah, you have to create a pathway.
Yeah.
A very evident pathway for water to go.
Totally.
Can I comment on this?
Yeah.
I mean, I love all of this, right? And you know what? Rory and I have talked about this a lot. I look at our window installs with the back dam, the excess seal, and it's taped up the side and it's taped in the top corner. And then we tape the windows to the bottom and around. I'm just like, he was never fucking getting in there.
He'd be so surprised. Have you actually pressure tested with water?
When you're someone,
That's going to identify a leak that you can repair, right?
Yeah.
But say you get a really small leak that you can't see.
Yeah.
And it makes its way into the cavity. You're airtight, so you don't have that
air movement,
to dry things out. It gets trapped and,
So when you do a blow oil test, why do you go around looking for leaks if you're already a 0.6?
Well, ego is probably a part of it.
But you also want to know if you've got any
bigger.
Yeah.
You should have before another podcast.
Have you got any weeks
before another podcast? Yeah.
So it's the same principle. And if you just get a water and throw it out the window, you're testing. We go back to...
We test weeks instead, right? But I guess for me, it's like, okay. And a lot of time, don't do it. Because I think it is just a bulletproof way of, you know, making sure that, you get more water egress into building. And we're potentially digressing a little bit here. But at what point do you stop? I had a message from Sean, Tassie Doorbog, the other day, you know, when I was showing some details around a window, and he goes, what are you doing for your bug mesh above your windows? And I'm like, I'm not doing anything. I'm like, there has to be a point where you draw a line with managing things that are going to get in and out of your building. And we do the vermin mesh on the bottom because that's easy, right?
Yeah.
Because
that's like probably the most common place. So that
exactly, yeah.
The rats sort of crawl up and go around and get up the side of your window. Like, yeah, it's just not. Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess the point I'm trying to say is, like, these things are good to think about, particularly in a bushfire zone. You've got to do that kind of stuff. I get it. But I think we need to draw a line somewhere. And I'm not saying it's not at slope sill. I'm saying that I think it's a good idea. I guess I'm being devil's advocate here at asking.
I also love the thought, though, but that's a great part of where buildings are at the moment, is because people are actually thinking about it. So it's better than having the thought of, what are you doing there? They mean, like, I don't care, whack it in, I can put a nail in and it's off.
Okay.
She'll be right.
So say we don't slope the sill and we just slap it in there, right, flat.
Yeah.
And even if you put it in level, it's timber.
Yeah.
Timber's shit.
Yeah.
And it's getting shitter.
Yeah,
what's to say it doesn't do this or cut or bow and inadvertently not just sit flat but track water back inside?
What if the house just moves in the foundation?
Yeah, what if it goes from this way to that way? And that's my argument with 1 and 2 degree roofs. What if the house sinks and that 1 degree is now an opposite to one?
With your 5 degree slope, are you allowing for house movement back the other way so it then goes level? What happens if it goes over 5 degrees?
Then you're in
probably a bigger issue. Yeah,
look, we're doing the back dam. We're doing extra seal. Like, it's pretty protected. I'm not saying don't do it because I think it's a pretty...
So you're doing not sloped, but a back dam.
Yeah, back dam.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing back dam. Yeah, and then our windows are sitting on packers above the back dam, so then we can slide in our plaster reveal or whatever on the inside. So, yeah, we're doing all of that stuff. The only thing we're not doing is putting a slope sill on.
So now you've sloped your sill, potentially.
Maybe.
Or done a back dam.
So back dam just, what do you guys use? A bit of ply, like a 20 mil, it's like a little raise.
10 mil.
It's a mini wall. It's a mini wall.
To water stop.
It's a mini wall, but.
Yeah. These are things that we need to think about, right, when we're creating that opening, right?
Yeah.
Because wherever you want to put continuous foam insulation around,
yeah.
And we want to make sure that we've got enough movement for deflection, and we want to make sure we've got enough room for, like, enough gap to put your back dam in and to then pack the window up.
Yeah. Yeah. And enough gap so that whatever insulation you put in there actually
does
goes in and does something.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the other part. If you're getting a mil of insulation, like, how do you get that in? Like, even if you get that little nozzle, you got to give it. And we overshoot it now a fair bit just to get a nice amount.
10 mil all around the whole thing.
But also, it's also the framing around it. I want to go back because there's no point putting 4 or 5 studs around that window opening and sitting your lintel in the wrong spot if you're going to do all this work to get your window in, because then we've got all these thermal bridges around it.
Yeah.
And commonly, I see these issues on social media where I look at our window install and I'm like, I understand you've got double studs next to it, but I can clearly see there's no load coming from your roof down. Why do you need 5, 6 studs and blocks and everything? We want to minimize the framing around that to improve the performance around that window.
So argue, you probably don't need double studs.
Unless you got like a trusses coming on the end.
A big fucker.
Especially on a 140 wall.
That's all we
actually don't do double studs on our 140 walls.
That's all.
Well, you don't need a double jam stud.
No, most of the time I've been fine.
And what are you doing? Like a single pine stud?
No, just 140 and then off you keep. You run your 600s again. I'm pretty certain from memory. I'm not on the tool side. I haven't seen a frame.
Big call from Matt, who probably hasn't put a tool bit on for a bit.
I'm probably going to go on site, like double stud. But I also, window rocks up on site's a really important point as well. because this is the moment we're like, how are we going to get airtight or watertight? And we've just got, I'll just talk about my house recently. We've got AluCode windows from Logic House, come from Poland. The system we're doing that now is compared to our big UPVC windows, which I know even since we've last worked with the UPVC, which is only a few months ago, and they've got a new system that you can use, which you'll probably talk about, Hayne. But it's now working like, how do we seal that to our envelope?
But we pre-prep everything.
Yeah.
So we prep. So the windows come in. The first thing that gets done is they don't go in the hole. They get inside and they go onto a little workbench. And then we detail inside and we detail outside with starter strip.
And ideally, if you have the ability to buy the windows deglaze and glaze them on site, one of the best things you can do to get your windows in.
Yep. Yeah. It makes it a fuck yeah. Easier to move them around.
Especially when you work with triple glaze, man.
Yeah. It's so heavy and they're so expensive. The risk of anything getting damaged.
Flipping them around, flip them around easy. And it's just, it's really, like I say it's easy because it's just, you need to think about where that system is going. It's taking the time to put that tape on properly, to adhere it properly, get your little pig's ears in the corner if you need to so you can fold it over. It's just thinking about like, how can you always make your life easier once that window's in?
Yeah, I think that's like a good point. I've had windows before that have come to site and they had already taped the PVC frame to the reveal, but they'd used the aluminium foil tape, which is so junk.
It's not what you should have called tape, really, should we?
Yeah. But so we ended up peeling it all off and retaping it. So you've got to really consider what products you're using and how they all work in unison with each other.
I think it's also important to think about the system.
Yes,
there too. Like, I think, like, let's go back to the slow seal thing for a second. In my opinion, that's not part of the ProClimber system. The exoseal, the tape.
The back dam isn't, though.
Yeah.
So the ProClimber tape, just to give you reference, if you tape inside and out, you should be taping inside and outside, whether you're going for air tightness or not, because it creates a pressure differential between the two.
Yeah.
All right. And also, from my understanding, if you tape in and out, it's the equivalent of a 2 meter wall high back dam. That's how much water it can hold before it fails, I'm being told.
Wow. But what are you taping to? If you don't have Intello internal,
just tape to your kind. It's just probably just tape to your studs on the inside, your opening. Yeah, I haven't done it. I'm just
saying if you're going to say that this is what you should be.
I guess the point I was making is with the system. So it's understand the system before you just go gung ho and go, oh, well, I'm going to put a window in and I'm going to put tape around it. And then if there is a failure, try to then figure out where you failed, because there is actually a logical way to actually install these windows that's documented already because the system
works. There's so many ways. Like, and within these are more wide of the lens view of how you'd install. Like, once you start getting to nitty gritty details, like, do you use the clips? Do you use the screws? Do you like what?
Home clips can fuck right off, in my opinion.
Sometimes they're okay. I'm not the biggest fan of it, but they are good. I like them on the top of the windows because you like, especially when you got the Logic House ones, they're big. You need to secure them at multiple points, and you don't. And if you can't get a screw from the top, like, how else are you going to do it?
So, do you reckon in that situation that those little bricks from Clicking probably work really well?
Yeah, I have huge reservations about them. I'd love to know like their wind load capacities and stuff.
I mean, let's not poo-poo. Let's poo-poo them. All I'm saying is something like that system would be really great for a big, heavy window, I personally don't think they work on UPVC, but I think on a rigid window like timber or AluCode, I think they've got a...
The other thing, what we did on our most recent job is we actually got the AluCode profile with the timber. We put two beads of silicon around or polyurethane around the whole way, stuck on a window pine reveal. Biggest suggestion I'd ever give is like, don't rely on the manufacturer to give you the reveals. Just cut them on site, make them yourself, get your windows bare. We stuck that down. We screwed from the back in. So it was more screwed the whole way around. Now that new reveal that we've got is now our fixing point. So not screwing through this beautiful window, especially if it's an oak. Then what we're able to do is you just need the basic Extora tape. So we taped our internal layer just straight over the window reveal. Now window reveal is now the airtight layer. It also means that our easy reveal can just run straight in.
Yeah.
That's what your air tight is on the inside. So, okay, so I see what you're saying. So your Intello and then your taping here.
Yeah, just where the reveal comes
out. Yeah,
and then just tape face, like what you do now with your Bink, your PVC. You get their nice clip-in, which I was not a fan of it at the start, but then watching, I'm like, yeah, it does make total sense. You're just taping straight over it.
There's same, mate. There's stuff on our Instagram page. Like, if you're not convinced, like, it's a game changer.
I was a bit concerned about, was it going to push it out too much and stuff, but do you still put in like another fixing on the side somewhere just to give it a little bit more strength?
No. Form straight in, fix it, like fit it off, tape it, foam cover it. The thing's not going anywhere.
What do you do? Do you put the fins in, or do you like the fins, or do you just...
I think the fin system's awesome, but we're not all going to build our houses with big windows.
That's exactly right, yeah.
You know,
and that's the thing.
Maybe we're not all going to use ProClimber. Even the three of us here all detail the bottom sill of our rough opening differently.
Yes, that's actually a really good point.
You know.
And not one, well, you could argue potentially mind up being sloped as well.
I never sloped them until my house. So just I was the same as you until my most recent window install.
But I think all three of us, I think, are doing the right thing there, or not the wrong thing there. Maybe one set of...
We're now improving on the 1%.
Yeah.
We are looking at small, little things to improve.
But if you think about window installation, and I guess what this whole podcast episode's about, like where the window is in the wall assembly, what the process is, or the system that you're using to install the window, thinking about those three control layers, I think is really important. I think they're consistent across every single window sweep we use.
Yeah. Yeah, like how are you managing it thermally? How are you keeping the water out? And then how are you managing it for air?
So I think the thermal one's really interesting. I think it was the first thing you said, Hayne, was like that glass has to be in the insulation layer. Like it's so important, or you will get condensation.
Yeah.
Like it's not an if, it's a when.
For
insulating externally.
Yeah, insulate externally.
Yeah.
You know, there's thermal butt products out there or whatever, if you have to
push it.
But it's understanding and maintaining that continuity.
Yeah. Now, I mean, this is a good topic to discussion quickly. We all insulate the sides and top of windows, and I use a spray foam, and it has to be a closed cell spray foam because it won't suck in water as much. It's just a better fright. Do you insulate the bottom sill of your windows?
No.
So I do.
No.
Why not?
Where are you insulating? The outside.
But like we spray foam 360 around.
I mean, I don't know how you like. So you're going from the outside where you've got the slope, and then you're spray foaming underneath it.
Yeah, because we're sitting up on window packers, so it's raised. It's not sitting hard down. I think that's another important part going back a bit. Sit your window hard down.
So my response to that is get a model if you're unsure.
Yeah, so we've had a model in the past, and it is a thermal bridge. Now, let me also go back to 2 points here. Where I'm building is inner city suburbs, unlike you guys all the time. Yeah. So we are quite condensed and quite protected by a lot of other buildings. So I have the amount of water that's going to hit those windows and that sill at the bottom isn't probably going to be as much as open to where you guys are building. If I was building in Cape Shank, I'm most likely going to
I'd agree with you saying that it is a thermal bridge, but now I'd also challenge you, does it matter? And that's where you need to ask someone like Cameron, can you please model that particular thermal bridge? Because every house is going to have a thermal bridge. It's the sum of the thermal bridges that are
going to... linear bridges.
Yeah.
So, but the thing, but they add up over a period of time, and all of a sudden we've got this cold spot underneath it. On the flip side, the argument is, well, now you're not, if water gets in there, can it drain down and away?
Well, I don't know if it could.
What's the other argument?
Yeah, why are you sloping the sill?
Just to give you that extra...
It's great for Instagram too.
If you have a sloped sill and then you properly manage what you do with... So say you slope your sill and you set a backing rod far enough in. So when I've set it up, I've got the sloped sill with an integrated back dam and flat packing blocks.
Yeah.
I'll then pack the window another 10 mil up from that so that the bottom reveal... to my back dam, I've got 10 mil, so I can fit the nozzle in. But I actually want to talk to the manufacturers of that about setting it up differently so that I could put a backing rod in there and then insulate up to a certain point.
This is what we do.
My biggest
gripe with spray foam insulation and the way most people put it in is put the gun in and send it. And whatever you've done to try and manage the way that moisture is controlled and, you know, directed away is now null and void because you've got no idea where that foam's gone, how much is in there.
Yeah.
It's not something that's managed, you know.
Has to be a low expansion foam. He's so key to, like...
Yeah, but you also need someone who's taking the time to fastidiously put it in.
Yeah.
You know, take your time and understand the rate at which you're
holding
injecting it into that cavity. Adjust
that nozzle. But doing a little bit, letting it expand out, coming back and doing it again and letting that expand out and then maybe doing it again, but you've got to let it dry in between and then you cut it off flat.
Yeah. Okay. And it's like, you know, we always have these discussions about, you know, oh, have we gone over the top with how we detail the windows? This building's never going to see this rain event.
Is it?
You've had it. How many people you've got clients that have pressure washed the living daylights out of the side of a building and...
Oh, this drives me insane. Like a pressure hose and holding it 100 mil off the window, you can get the best window in the world.
Yeah.
It's probably going to fail. But you can't stop stupid. You can't.
But if you've set it up in a way...
I'm just writing that down to count stuff.
If you've set it up in a way that even if someone does something like that, you know, yeah, we're all buying amazing window packages for our builds. But eventually that lifespan of that window package, you know, things are going to break down. And for the little bit of extra effort that we go to slope a sill to manage that, are we buying potentially then another 10 years of life out of that building? Because when the window breaks down and water gets in, it's got a pathway to get out.
Was it the window that's ever going to break down or is it the glass that's going to break down?
I'm thinking about all these things now and like thinking about even just particularly the foam around the windows. I would argue that there's no guarantee that that's perfect, that it's going to be installed 100% how you want it to be installed. The fact that we're all sitting here like nerding out on how we're installing windows is probably a really good indication of how the rest of that building is going to be built. If you're taking the time to soap your sills, to put extra seal down, to put back dams, to make sure that you're, you know, managing where your fixing points are going so you're not interrupting the air tightness or the, you know, moisture control over the actual window or the functionality of that window, that is then going to expand out for the rest of that building.
100%.
But I think all we can get at is like between the difference of our windows, like, yeah, they're 99% is the same window install detail. And I think the extra 1% is it's just the way we've just done things and it depends on the type of window, depends on where you're building it or installing it.
But I think also how we've installed windows in the past where you just, you know, they're rocking up and they're literally going straight to the hole, few screws, walk away and job done. It's not how we should be installing them. This is probably one of the most critical junctures of the building that needs to be treated that way.
Probably the most critical.
You're probably right, most critical, because we've all done renovations and we've ripped windows out. What's failed? The sill, the corners of the sill.
There's three things in building that will most likely fail. One, it's a roof leak. Why people don't use a proper external membrane on the roof, baffles me, eliminates it.
Yeah. Two, and just on that, you can't just put fucking ProClimber on your walls and say,
I'm a high performance house.
Like that's on the roof as well.
I'd rather
it on the roof.
I'd rather it on the roof than the walls. I'd rather put the ProClimber on the roof than the walls. The second thing is waterproofing. Biggest plan for having an insurance issue.
Yeah.
Third is windows. Windows leak. Again, they're the three. If you didn't look at those three issues in themselves, you know, so.
And I would say to them, one's probably not higher than the other because they're all issues.
It's all to do with water.
It's also your moisture management.
But you got to think like what are you doing as well after you've installed the window, especially externally and especially with lightweight cladding. So you've taken the time to put the window in, you've taped it nicely, whatever, and then you've gone absolutely fucking berserk with a nail gun and some cladding and you've blasted holes everywhere. You've undone all your good work.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. I reckon we leave it there. Our windows.
I think so.
Yeah,
done.